God, I come by the blood of Lord, just confessing my sins. I did not come in my own preparation, but I come by the blood of Lamb, that you have mercy today. That Lord, as I go into your word, you have mercy. You will help me, Lord, to speak as an oracle of God. Let your word go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds, Father, enlightened with revelation knowledge from your word, and our emotions, Father, controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, help me as a scribe and instructor of the kingdom, bring out things new and old. Lord, to cause your people to be prepared for the imminent glory that we are waiting for. We also pray, Lord, for grace to redeem it and not to say things that are unnecessary. We ask that you confirm your word today with signs following. We welcome you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give all the praise and all the glory for all you are doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. We, in our last time, we're in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we'll do a brief recap with verses 3 to 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. If you remember, Paul was talking about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Say, a good soldier of Jesus. Let's read. Say, thou therefore endure hardness. As what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Next verse. No man or woman that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of his life, that what? He may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That means if you entangle yourself so much in the affairs of this life, you will never please God. You see, hidden under that is that he's telling you that if you get too much or you live after the flesh, you will never please God. The Bible says that those that live after the flesh cannot please God. Praise the Lord. So we spoke extensively about this last time, and I'll just do a brief recap. If you notice in verses 3 and 4, Paul was using natural things, vocations, to describe spiritual things to his son Timothy. So in verses 3 and 4, he was talking about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 4, he started using the analogy of an athlete. And then in verse 5, he started talking about the farmer. And then he said one thing. He said to all Timothy, he said, I pray that God will give you an understanding. The Bible says that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. The Bible says in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians 15, that first the natural, then the spiritual. When you look at natural things, you see, it begins to show you spiritual things that God has hidden for you to have an understanding. So nobody has an excuse as we continue. So I put it, I said, and he prays that through these three analogies, these three vocations, you know, talk about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, that God should give his son, spiritual son, understanding. Say, God will give us understanding today. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 22 in King James. It says that understanding, says understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. That means if you don't have understanding of spiritual things through natural things, you will not be a wellspring of life to you. Will not be that will not be a portion in Jesus. In Message Bible, please put the Message Bible. I just checked the message while I was preparing. I would like to mention what was the message by saying the true intelligence is a spring of fresh water. Whilst what fools sweat it out the hard way. When I was checking, and I remember that Pastor taught us some months ago about actionable intelligence. Say actionable intelligence. You need to know your enemy. The enemy you are fighting. So I'm not beating about the bush or doing something else that God has not called you to do. As we will see later, perhaps you say something. He said that, can you imagine if you spend your entire life baking apple pie for God? And then I get to heaven, and God tells that, I don't eat apple pie. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So let's quickly look at verse 3. I'll just summarize and read through, you know, for a brief recap. A good soldier of Jesus Christ endures hardness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. There Paul was talking to his son Timothy. Please put it there for time. You know, he says that persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endure. You see now, God does not want to run away from persecutions and afflictions. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Next verse. Yea, say yea. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is part and parcel of our Christian life. Because the Bible says that persecutions and afflictions will arise for the world's sake. So if you don't face this at any point in time in your life, you must. That means either you are not keeping the word. or will keep the word in Jesus' name. So I said last time, I said, a good soldier of Jesus Christ must be dedicated to his cause. He must be focused on the mission, which is our purpose, to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I quoted Psalm 71, I said, I will be satisfied when I awake in that likeness. Say, a good soldier will not quit until the mission is accomplished. That is, they are willing to die in order to fulfill their mission. And they are always ready for battle. I quoted the example, of Gideon's army. And I said, dress for battle does not mean you are always wearing your natural military uniform. He's talking about watching and praying always. Say, watch and pray always. So verse 4, which it says that I mentioned, say, good soldiers are not entangled in the affairs of his life, making it difficult for them to disengage when duty calls for battle. And I mentioned the example of rich young ruler. He went to Jesus Christ like many Christians do today. They want to get born again. They want to fulfill their purpose of their life. So and God says to him, he said, good master. I said, why? God says, why are you calling me good? There's no good but God. And he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And also I said, okay, keep this, told him some commandments, you know, don't come to you, don't do that. And he said, all these have I done since my youth. Just kind of said, he now gave him the real thing that is most important. He said, go sell everything that you have. Now, pick up your cross and follow me. Verse 22, in Mark chapter 10, verse 22, let us see his response. The man was so entangled in the affairs of his life. Say, no, verse 24, Mark chapter 10, verse 22. Just to read what that guy said. Say, and he was what? Sad at that saying. And went away grieved, for he had great possessions. How many of us today is our possessions hindering us from serving God? It's a question we need to ask. And the only way you can know the answer is when you have to make a choice between the spiritual and the physical. Between your job, who to marry, where to live, what do you do? If you don't make the choice to pick up your cross daily, which is dying to self, that is, that now begins to determine everything you do. That is, you look at a situation and you judge it as, if I do this thing, it's going to affect my work with God. No, I'm not going to do it. Yes, sir. That is what we have to do. Like that camel that will go to the island. Now, God will bring everything back later. Praise the Lord. On the other side. So, let's now go to what we have for today so we don't waste time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For time, I believe we'll only be able to read verses 5 to 7 today. Let's read from the Amplified Bible. Because of time. Put in the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Amplified Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And if anyone enters competitive games, is not crowned. Say, he's not crowned unless he completes lawfully. Now it says, fairly, according to the rules laid down. Next verse. It is a hard working farmer who labors, to produce, who must be the first partaker of the fruits. So it is not compulsory because you are an husband man that you partake of the first fruits. It is those that labor. Next verse. Think over these things. Let's read God. Think over these things. I am saying, understand them and grasp their application. The Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. That is why there's a need, urgent need in the body of Christ for the sons of Issachar, that have an understanding of the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. And also like mommy has added recently, and the capacity and the capability to do it. Because you can know and yet not do. We'll know and we'll do in Jesus' name. In verse 5 in the King James Version, it says, striving lawfully. It says, striving. King James uses the word strive. Says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strives lawfully. You see, it's like running a race. If you get on the track, some people are even defeated before they start the race. You know, if you keep jumping the gun, they will disqualify the person. They have not even started. Some start at the cross the lane. Some run. I've seen people run before out of ignorance, and then maybe the baton drops, and they still keep running. Can you imagine? At the end of it, if you don't have the baton, there's no way you are going to be crowned. So Paul was using this natural illustration to explain a spiritual truth to us. Praise the Lord. And he said, three things I want to see there. We must strive lawfully. Say, strive lawfully. If the Bible says strive lawfully, that means it is possible to strive unlawfully. And the second thing is, he says that you are striving for mastery, so that you are, he says that, to compete according to laid down rules. So if you don't compete according to laid down rules of that particular sport, using either football or running a race, are you following me? He said that if you don't compete, you will not be crowned. So also in Christianity, Paul, St. Paul, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, he says that let us therefore lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Say, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Weight and sin which does so easily beset us, that we may run with patience the race that is set before you. There is a race that has been set before you were born. And you have to run that race. Now, Paul makes us to see here that the hindrances to running that race is our weights and sins. We'll see as we continue. So, and he talks about winning a crown. What is the crown we are called to win in Christianity? It's not a physical crown. It is a crown of the glory of God, which is imminent in this time. Psalm 8 verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 8 verse 5. What are you saying? Talking about Adam. For thou hast made him a little lower than what? The angels, Elohim. And hast crowned him, say, crowned him with glory and honor. That was what Adam lost. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. We mentioned this the last time. So what we are expecting, it's not a house in Lekki. It is not a physical crown. So you go and seek for titles in your hometown. It is the crown of the glory of God. What does it say? It says, for thou, please, 1 Peter chapter 4, 5 verse 4, where Peter was talking. 5, 4, please. It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, say it's going to appear, he shall receive what? A crown of glory that faded not away. That is what we are expecting. And that's why I'm taking time today to spend time with you. I believe God will have you to say some things to us so we can be ready, because the time is imminent. Praise the Lord. As Christians, like I said earlier, are you striving lawfully? We'll know as we continue. To strive in the dictionary means to struggle, say struggle, or fight vigorously. It means to enter a contest, to contend in competitive games. To apply, say to apply, strenuous zeal to obtain something. Already, what that should tell us is this, like I said earlier on. The Bible says, before you can be crowned, you have to strive lawfully. That means it is possible not to strive lawfully. And if you don't strive lawfully, you will not be crowned. Now, the problem is this. If you are striving unlawfully, you may not know until you get to the end where you're supposed to breast the tail. By then, it's too late. So people may not know the end of their lives. But God wants us to know, like Paul. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He said that now it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous Lord shall give unto him that other serves him, you know, like he has given me something like paraphrasing. At the end of his life, he knew he had won the battle. He knew it was a crown waiting for him. But see, there are some that are striving unlawfully, not based on the rules of the competition, and they are still there. You see, because most times when, like 100 meter dash, most times nobody will come and pull you out. Especially if you drop the baton. Nobody will say, you have dropped, they can be shouting. But if you get entangled in the affairs of this life, people that are shouting and you think they are praising you, you keep on running without the baton. I follow me. And when you get to the end, and when they are picking number one, number two, number three, they'll leave the person behind. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So we have two main oppositions that we have to strive against. There are two main oppositions. Say Satan and his cohorts. And then the sin nature in the air and in the flesh. Folks, don't waste your time as a Christian. That's why, you see, I keep thanking the fathers of the house. They have made this message so simple, so you know what you have to do daily. And then you know you are striving lawfully. So you're not wasting your time planting churches. You're not wasting your time doing evangelism. All those things will follow after if we strive lawfully. Praise the Lord. So Satan, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Those are the ones we have to overcome. Potentially, we have overcome them in Christ. But you see, Satan will not just be because he's God of this world. Ephesians 2:2 says that, you know, talked about the prince of the power of the air. There's a power in the air, and there's a prince behind that power in the air. You can see this TV right here. Let us assume that I have the remote control. if you are watching it and you don't know, they can change the channel to something that is not present. You can't be fighting the TV. Go and deal with the guy that has remote control. Are you with me? So we need to deal with Satan, not the human spirits that are working hands with him. Once you take the power from them, they are powerless. Praise the Lord. Just like when the Spirit of God departed from Samson, he was powerless. So also, let's continue. So the sin nature in the air and in the flesh. Romans chapter 8 verse 10 says that the body is dead. Say the body is dead because of sin. That is, as a Christian, we have been taught. When you got born again, God removed sin nature from your spirit, but you have a residual sin nature in your soul and in your body. That's what Paul is saying. The body is dead because of sin. So you have Satan in the air. You have Satan's power in the air. Are you following me? And then you also have the nature of Satan in the soul and in the body. How the Bible calls it flesh. So as Christians, we are to strive daily to overcome Satan. Say Satan, his nature in the air and in our flesh in the place of prayer. Romans chapter 15 verse 30. Romans 15, 30. Please double up, guys. Romans 15, 30. See, Paul was talking. He said, now I beseech you, brethren. Let's be together. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you are you. Let's shout. That you what? Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So the Apostle Paul recognized that only his prayers alone cannot get the job done. He recognized the need for the brethren to pray for him. So please strive with me in prayers to God for me. Praise the Lord. It's very important. But what I want to say is this. We strive in the place of prayer. Say we strive as Christians spiritually in the place of prayer. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Don't go there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Where Paul was talking about Epaphras in the Amplified Bible. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. 4:12. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Amplified Bible. There's Epaphras, who is one of yourselves, that is a regular guy like you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He's always, say always, always, not sometimes, always striving for you earnestly, we are in prayers, pleading that you may, as persons of ripe character, say ripe character, and clear conviction, stand firm and mature in spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything willed by God. Praise the Lord. Folks, it takes prayer. And it's not the kind of kuje prayer that people pray. It takes intense intercession. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit for you to achieve this. Because there's an opposition in the air and also in your flesh. You have a feet column. So even if you allow that nature in your body to dominate you, will make you do what you don't want to do. As you are going to see. Praise the Lord. And I have a very good example. I'll talk about David because we are all the dynasty or lineage of David in this end time. We are the tabernacle, but the Bible will restore back and build the tabernacle of David that was broken down. So we look at the life of David and we'll see the mistakes that he made, why he made them, and the root cause of those mistakes. Remember, I said we have two oppositions. I said Satan, say Satan, the sin nature in the air and also in the flesh. So let's look at David. David made three mistakes, basic mistakes that the Bible talks about. So let's see mistake number one. Mistake number one is recorded in the Bible. When what did he do? He tried to bring back the ark on a Philistine's cart. And he did not, Bible says, to summarize, he put it on a Philistine's cart and they were bringing it and they kept bringing it and kept bringing it. They got to Nacon's threshing floor. I follow me. And the oxen stumbled. And when the oxen stumbled, Uzziah tried to steady the ark. We know the story. And he fell down dead. And then he took it out of Obed-Edom for about three or six months or so. Then he said, go and bring it again. But you see, between that time, what did David do? Why did he make that mistake? We are looking at David. I said he made three mistakes that the Bible records. He must have made others. But three critical ones that hindered him from building the temple. He brought back the ark on a Philistine's cart. Now, after going back to study the word of God, he said something. He said, we did not seek God after due order. Say, we need to seek God after due order. Now, let's read. For because ye did it not at the first, The Lord our God made a breach upon us, but that we sought him not after due order. There's nothing wrong in wanting to do what God has said we should do. But you see, you must follow the instructions written in the manual. That's the problem we have. Many want to please God today, but they don't, instead of going into the word and digging deep and find out how the master said they should do it, they don't do it. And the best example that Pastor always says is Lord Jesus Christ. He's our pattern and he's our goal. Are you with me? So, you see what he did? Then as I was meditating, you see, I said he made 3 mistakes. But you see, what was the mistake he made there? A lack of diligence in his daily Bible reading and study. Because he was written in the word of God before. The Bible is not something you read once a week. You have to read it every day. Say every day and meditate on it. If you had meditated, you see, one thing I discovered about God is if you do these things regularly as I've been taught, God will always, but the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He will have known your pattern and he will push what is supposed to come for you to see. But at this time, you see, David had become king. So I believe he dropped in his diligence in Bible reading. That's why he didn't know. And you know why? The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. He says, when you had come into land, picture there, and you make a king. Are you with me? He said, when you make a king, he says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write, him a copy of this law in the book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Next verse. Next verse, please. And it shall be with him. Say, and it shall be with him. He didn't say it will be with his pastor. It shall be with him. And shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So at this time, David was not in the word. Put in the Message Bible, verse 18. Message Bible, verse 18. We are talking about David today. So we can avoid these things. You see, we are talking about striving lovely. So I'm using those examples. What does it say? This is what must be done when he sits on the throne of his kingdom. The first thing, say the first thing that you do every morning to do is to make himself a copy of this revelation on a scroll, copied under the supervision of legal priest. Next verse. That scroll is to remain at his side at all times. Folks, say at my side. It's not something you forget. At all times, say at all times. You can fulfill that now by putting on your phone. At all times. At all times. Can you imagine a soldier going to war, a Roman soldier, without his sword? So your sword, the sword of the Spirit, must always be beside you at all times. The second mistake I saw is this when I was mentioning the word about David. You see, David had a prophetic anointing. But God had put 3 people beside him. He had put Zadok, Nathan, and Gad. What does that speak to us? You must listen to prophetic and apostolic ministration teaching at least once a week. So if you miss the one of the Bible and you come to church, the person that is missing will say something that will eat your heart. But this time, David did not consult Zadok. Zadok was a, not many people think Zadok is just a priest. He was also a seer. Open your Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 15. No, not 1 Chronicles. Before we go there, I have some scriptures here to post what I'm saying. Psalm 119 verse 3, verse 133 says, that order my steps in thy word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. So if you don't spend time in the word, the sin is likely to have dominion over you. So I said the first problem is a lack of diligence in Bible reading. And I quoted Deuteronomy chapter 17. Now what I want to say, as a problem now too, is not listening to prophetic and apostolic teaching weekly. I'm trying to apply it to us. I said he had Zadok beside him. 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 27. Because Zadok was a priest. So obviously Zadok knew how he was supposed to carry the ark. We're talking about the ark now, his first mistake. What does this say? This is when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. The king, that's right, the king also said unto who? Zadok the priest. Now listen, art not thou a seer? So Zadok was a seer. So he had a prophetic right there beside him who could have told him, let us say he missed his Bible reading that morning or that week. Could have told him, David, if you had been there, this is how God said we should carry it. The second mistake he made, Bible says, when kings ought to be in battle. See, David tarried still. 2 Samuel chapter 11. We know the story. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1. The first mistake was a drop in his Bible reading. The second mistake was when kings ought to be in battle. And it came to pass after the year was expired. That is like, to us, it would be like when people are supposed to go on break and just take it easy. There's no taking easy in Christianity. The pastor will say, Satan does not go to sleep. But he keeps running to and fro the whole earth. So if it's not your state today, he'll run down to so and so tomorrow. Says, and it came to pass after a year was a prayer that at that time when kings, say kings, go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and beset Joab. But what? David what? Tarry still at Jerusalem. Second mistake. This second mistake, I follow me, there was a prophetic beside him, Nathan. The same Nathan that he told that he wanted to build God the house, and God told him through Nathan, go and build the house. He did not consult when he was weak. I know what Nathan said. It was Nathan that God sent to him and said, thou art the man. What am I saying? We must not play with listening to apostolic and prophetic teaching at least once a week. So that it now complements what you have read in your personal Bible reading. Don't say that I have an unction, I know all things. It's true. But you need the complement of the apostolic and the prophetic, for we are built on this foundation. So prevention, you miss something. The apostolic teaching and prophetic will trigger something in you that you now go back. God is very wise. So when kings ought to go to battle, when do we go to battle? When do our battle prayer? Good morning, Jesus, for example. Don't miss it, please. So the third point I have here, are you with me? Is when he numbered the people. Are you with me? And you see, the same thing, he had a prophetic beside him. He had God with him. God had always been with David from the very onset when he went to the cave of Adullam. It was God that was instructing him. But over here, David fell into pride. And you know what he did? He stole Joab. He said, go and number the people. Let's read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. See what he did. Now, we're talking about the main two oppositions. We're talking about Satan and his nature in our soul and body. Then David said, no, 21. See, that's the main opposition. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Let's leave the course of time. That was the another opposition that he refused to overcome. Satan moved him to name Israel. He started counting, you know, out of pride. You know, okay, I have so military might and all that. And Joab, you have been studying Joab recently. This is about the only thing that I can remember Joab ever did in his life that was good. He told David, he said, oh God, why are you going to do this now? God, don't number the people. So you see, that means you still have to listen to people when they are not good. But they didn't listen to Joab. And we know the story, and people started dying. So what am I saying? But there was God beside him. It was God that went to rebuke him and said, you raise up an altar for the Lord. What am I saying? For balance. You may have a particular unction, like the Bible says in the book of 1 John. It says we have an anointing upon us that we need no man to teach of everything. But you need the input of the apostolic and the prophetic. So if you take David, God, Nathan, and Zadok, you get balance. Praise the Lord. So it's very important. So the last problem we see here, you see, why did he fall into that sin of pride? A lack of diligence in walking in the Spirit. But it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So that is very important. Now, let's go back to the issue of striving lawfully. If we do not strive lawfully, we are going to be rejected. We will not be rejected in Jesus' name. But not the natural. If you are supposed to do something, either in a race or anything, it's not like the hand of God that Madonna did that there, nobody saw it. This one, God is looking with the eyes. I follow him. So we are likely rejected. And I have a very good example about Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. We are talking about the opposition, Satan and the sin nature in the flesh. Moses had a problem with anger. He never fully dealt with it. He said the thing used to rise. You know, the problem is probably because he saw the problems ahead. So he just took his bit at least finally. What does he say? Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Next verse. He didn't strive love for you. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe not me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses did not strive lawfully. What was the root cause? He did not keep his body under. Anger rose up at the last minute. And he smote the rock. The fact that you got a miracle does not mean that you are striving lawfully. For it cost him more. He cost him the promised land. He did not enter the promised land, which is the type of the perfection of the grace of Christ. We enter it in Jesus' name. That is when the Bible talks about those that perished in the wilderness, Moses was buried in the wilderness. They did not even carry his bones into the promised land that had of Joseph. So you can see outside it. He was begging God, said, God, 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 please, God, God. God said, no, we are not going in. And they carried Joseph's bones. Folks, this race is not over until it's over. Say, it is not over until it's over. I'll share something with you. Last Monday, when I got to my house praying, and I was on my face, I was asking God, praying. Lord spoke to me. And I'm saying to everybody, say, remain small in your eyes. Say, remain small in your eyes. And he said something to me. You know, the funny thing was, the next morning, mom started talking about the same thing in our prayer meeting. You know, Lord told me, he said, you must make a transition from John the Baptist to become John the Beloved via humility. You must do. You must make the transition from John the Baptist to John the Beloved through humility. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I decrease. It's a transition we must make. Or else you can have the spirit of Elijah and not the power of Elijah. You must keep on going down in humility. You must make the transition from John the Baptist to John the Beloved via humility. You humble yourself unto the death. Let's keep reading. So, I've mentioned Moses. God is calling us in this hour to strive in order to enter into our destiny in this Kairos moment. Pastor has given us a timeline before the next Feast of Tabernacles. And as I was preparing, God brought you my remembrance. They asked the Lord just a question. Luke chapter 13, verse 23, put amplified. He said, are there many that should be saved? Now, salvation here is, I'm not talking about being getting born again. I'm applying it to the salvation of your soul. The Bible says that receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So please put in Luke chapter 13, verse 23. And with that discourse, I'm saying that God is calling us to strive to enter into our destiny this time. Luke 13. God have mercy on me. Then said one unto him, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, please put in Amplified Bible. I will read. They asked, are there many that are going to be saved? You know what the master said? He started talking to them in verse 20. Let's start from verse 24. That's where we are now. 24, please. Strive. Say strive. Master says to me, say strive. To enter by the what? Narrow door. Say narrow door. Say force yourselves to it. For what? Many. Say many. The majority. I tell you, we try to enter, I will not be able. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Next verse. When once the master of the house gets up and closes the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door again and again, saying, Lord, say, Lord, open to us. And he will answer you, I do not know where, what your household, certainly not mine, you come from. Next verse. This is where we are. Force yourself in. Force. Not physically. Kick that door open every morning. Then you begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. That talks about the laity. Those that hear the word like you are hearing every day. And you taught in our streets. That talks about the ministry, the leadership. So it applies to both leadership and the followership. Force yourselves. Say, force yourselves. Next verse. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know thee. What household, certainly not mine, you come from. Depart from me, all you wrongdoers. King James says, workers of iniquity. Lawlessness. You see, we are talking about striving lawfully. I mentioned ahead of time, we strive lawfully by operating love, spirit of Christ. Next verse. There will be weeping and crying of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourself being cast forth will not be cast forth in Jesus' name. Banished, driven away. Next verse. And people who come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and sit down, feast at table in the kingdom of God. Next verse. And behold, there are some now. Last who will be first. Then there are some now. First who will be last then. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But I have to preach it. So when I read it to, the same way you were quiet, the same way I was quiet. The fact that you heard the message first does not guarantee that we enter first. There are thousands out there who are yet to hear this word. And the best example I have is Paul. Paul comes in and he writes over 2/3 of the New Testament, over half of the New Testament. His shadow began to heal people. Up to the point that he rebuked Peter. Like Pastor would say, while Peter's shadow was still healing people in the street of Jerusalem, Paul was still chasing Christians, killing them around. Please don't rest on your own. Next verse. So in that verse says that narrow door. What does it speak of? A narrow door speaks of a window of opportunity that I believe God has opened for us in this house at this time. So I've set before you an open door which no man can shut. I Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. It says that straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few, say few. Say few. I'll be that part of that few that find it. It says, enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But many there be which go there. That will not be a portion. Next verse. Say straight. Because straight, say straight is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And there be few that find it. What are we talking about? Not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about the life of God entering into your mortal body. It's a very straight road. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. When you pump the life of God, it's a straight road. Very few find it. Thank God for Pastor and Mommy. They have taught us the way, how to find it, what you need to do to get it done. Choose the fear of God. I follow me and the love of God regularly. That's the way. There's no other way you can have that life in your flesh. It is the same thing when it talks about the opposition, Satan in the air and in the flesh. That's the only way we can overcome that Satan nature in the soul and in the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, I have to read there. You see, I omitted the scripture. I'll just quote it. You see, when Paul was talking, he said that, I said, so please do not strive lawfully. You don't have time to turn there. Philippians chapter 1. Let's turn there. When he was talking, he said, some preach Christ out of envy. Some preach Christ out of kidney. He said, anyway, Christ is preached. That is, there are people that are preaching this gospel not lawfully. They are striving. If you find the people, I just want to mention something. Please, you find it there. In 1 Philippians chapter 1, when he was talking, he said, some preach Christ out of envy. He said, some out of love. Are you there? Say, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. I'm soft after of goodwill. That is, the first one is not in love. The second one is love. That's why I said goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add to affliction of my bonds. But the order of love, so goodwill is love. Knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. You know how you are going to be judged in this lifetime and over there is by how you strive. Your motives, your means, and your methods. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 in Amplified Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. Are we there? See what he said. He said, for we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment. So it's not only to pray with travail, but pray with travail with the fear of God. He says, for we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose, say purpose, motive have been, and what he has achieved, being busy with, and giving himself and his attention to accomplishing. That's how we strive lawfully. You judge yourself every morning. You set your will. You choose the fear of God. Praise the Lord. So we strive lawfully by operating law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The blood overcomes the sin. The life overcomes the death. I already mentioned our Paul. Paul strove lawfully and he said, I fought a good fight. Now let's look about this. How do we strive lawfully? Why do we have to strive lawfully? So that we can overcome the sin nature in our soul and our body. Because that is the main problem you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. What is it? Paul was talking. 1 Corinthians, says, know ye not that they which run in a race. Using that illustration of an athlete. Run all, but one receiver the prize. So run, say run, that you may obtain. You see, we are not in a race against my brother. I'm in a race against time. That you may obtain. Next verse. And every man that striveth, that's that word again. For the mastery is temperate. Says temperate in all things. Now they do to obtain the corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. That's the glory of God we're talking about. So it begins to show us something else. If you don't have self-control, you are likely to get into trouble. You are likely to be disqualified. Next verse. And the reason for a lack of self-control is the sin nature in the soul and in the body that wants to run down. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that pitches to the air. Next verse. But I keep, say, I keep my body. I keep my body and bring it to subjection. Lest that by enemies, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That will not be a portion, but it is possible. What do we see there? A lack of self-control by overcoming the sin nature in the soul and the body can render somebody a castaway. That is what put David into trouble. That is what put Moses into trouble. Are you with me? He will not put us in trouble in Jesus' name. So how do we do it summary? We do this by using blood, word, and spirit to overcome and gradually flush out the sin nature in our souls and bodies. And we'll attain unto cleansing perfection and then manifest. You see, getting rid of the sin nature is not an option. No. If you understand what perfection is all about, you know it's not an option for you. The Bible says, who in the days of his death? Jesus Christ did not have sin in his soul or body, but not that in his spirit, but he had it in the air. So each time we say, even you see that, we offer our prayers and submission with strong character unto him that was able to save him from death. You can interpret that unto him that was able to save him from pride, unto him that was able to save him from envy, unto him that was able to save him from fornication. Whatever death is, he said, though you are a son, yet learn thee obedience by the things which you suffered. That's why we pray with travelo. Tongues alone will not do it. We need to pump the life of God into your physical body. Praise the Lord. So I wrote here, Matthew 25 verse 4. That is what is going to mark the difference in this end time. Matthew 25 verse 4 talks about those wise virgins. He said they had oil in their lamps and oil also in their vessel. Follow my train of thought. You see, we are talking about overcoming and getting rid of sin nature in your soul and in your body. So you must have oil in your lamp and oil in your vessel. Paul says something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9. 5, 9. Let's read together. Say, wherefore we labor. Say, we labor. That whether present or absent will be accepted. So it is possible to be here and not to be accepted of him, right or wrong. It is possible to get there, like I said, you finish your race, you thought you won, but you say, oh God, you draw the battle, or you cross the lane. Is it possible? So we have to take it on this side. He said, whether present or absent, when the guests will be accepted. So but God wants us to be accepted of him. And I have a good example. Cain. Let's look again. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis 4, 7. You see, God always gives us a way of escape. We take it. After he killed his brother Abel, look at what God told him. He said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Whether present or absent. So Eddie's Cain was not accepted on earth. So if you're not accepted on earth, how can you be accepted in heaven? You already got his result here. And if thou doest not well, say sin, not sin, so sin, the nature, light at the door. Say door. It's not that physical door he's talking about. He's talking about your five physical senses. There's no sin within that door. The five physical senses, sin in the soul and in the body, light at the door. And unto thee shall his desire, and shall be his desire, and thou shalt what? Rule over him. Rule over him. Why will God punish this guy if he don't have the right? That's why the Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. I know you have sin in soul. I know you have sin in the body, but it shall not dominate you because you are no longer under law, but under grace. So sin was at his Cain's door, his soul. But allowed to rule by him, and he killed his brother. Open to 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. He explains it. The issue in Christianity is the issue of a sin nature, overcoming it. Like Idoru can say, the two things are open Bible, life and death. What does this Amplified Bible, please? Amplified. Lord have mercy today. And not be like Cain, who did what? Who took his what? Nature. And got his motivation. From where? From the evil one. And slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his deeds, activities, works were wicked. He cast destruction behind him. They had told them to always sacrifice. So he cast it behind him. So instead of that, he now took his nature, the nature of a devil that was in him. And his deeds actually were wicked and malicious. And his brothers were righteous. How was his brother righteous? He used the blood, the word, and spirit. Let me just summarize. Sin lies at the door. His desire is towards you. But you must rule over him. He says that a flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. He said, these are contrary to one another. That you will not do the things that you want to do. But he sets up, he said, walk in the spirit and you shall not, period. So if you fall into sin at any time, you were not walking in the spirit. God told me some weeks ago, he said, step up your walk in the spirit. He told me, he said, step it up. And I say it to you too. So don't think it's only me. If you are walking 20% in the spirit, step it up. We walk in the spirit at least 4 times at every opportunity and every time. But you see, my own every opportunity is more than your own, can be more than your own. I create the opportunity. I don't wait for the opportunity. I set my alarm. It peeps me. Don't wait for the opportunity. I create it. Because the goal is this. Watch and pray always. So step up. So you don't fall into temptation. Our destiny is to possess the gates of our enemies. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. So you shall possess the gates. He said your seed shall possess the gates of enemies. That gate is the 5 scarlet senses. When you occupy with life of God. The eye gate, the nose gate, the mouth gate. You are the one controlling it. The sin nature is not controlling you. Keep the flesh under. Now, the next verse says that the husbandman, verse 6, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Say the husbandman that laboreth shall be first partakers of the fruit. I'm thinking from 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. It is not the husbandman that is lazy, slothful or negligent spiritually. It is one that laboreth. Say laboreth. That will partake of the first fruit. So, if you want to partake either of the board anointing, you cannot be slothful or lazy. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 says that you be not slothful, but part of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Proverbs 24 verse 30 said, I went by the field of the slothful. Put it there. Just read it. You see, there are things we must do. We do it in the natural, but when it comes to spiritual things, we are negligent. We are very negligent spiritually. And then we expect to get the same results. People make a first class in the university. Look at them spiritually. They don't mind with just a pass. As long as I can make heaven. Whether to be accepted here or not, present or over there. If you are not accepted here, you will not be accepted there. Not that you will be in heaven, no, but outer court. See, I went by the feet of a slothful and by the vineyard of the man that was void. We are talking about understanding today, the wellspring of life. Void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall, Revelation 11, therefore was broken down. Next verse. Then I saw and I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. Next verse. Yet a little sleep. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Next verse, spiritually speaking now. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Yet a little sleep, spiritually. Yet a little slumber. But what goes on? God, Isaiah 28 says, talking about praying in tongues. He said, here a little, there a little. Are you following me? He said, so instead of yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, why don't you pray in tongues a little? Pray in tongues. Put in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Because each time you are not walking in the spirit, you are sleeping spiritually. Isaiah 28. You say that precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Next verse. Say what? Four. With stammering lips, you will not fall asleep spiritually. With stammering lips, and another tongue, will you speak to this people? Yet they will not hear. So why sleep a little? That's how you walk in the spirit. Here a little. There a little. Father, I confess our sins. In just one breath, choose the fear of God. I say, be in the fear of the Lord all day long. That's how you walk in the spirit. But if you don't do it, Satan is bad. Say, why men slept? You come and sow tears there. That's when they sow these stones. I'll not be a portion in Jesus' name. So, in rounding up, there are 4 basic areas. We are talking about the husbandman that labored. he shall be partakers of the first fruit. We labor in four basic areas. Say, labor of life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16 says that the labor of righteous tended to life. Labor in the word. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Say, count them worthy of double honor that labor in the word. Prayer. We labor in prayer. Say, in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 12. We quoted it. Say, Epaphras, who is one of you? Labor fervently in the place of prayer. Then the final one. You see, all these three labors I've mentioned. The end is for you to labor in love. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. So God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So the labor of life, the labor of word, the labor of prayer is to perfect the love of God. The end of command is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. In closing, I read verse 7. I read James chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. The husbandman that labors shall be partakers of the first fruit. James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. What does it say? Say, be patient, therefore, brethren. Unto the coming of the Lord, behold, say behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. And he had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Very critical. Next verse. No, we have missed the verse. Eight, please. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord right now. Read the last verse so we can end the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. So God wants us to have understanding. That's what Paul told Timothy. He gave him the example of the soldier. He gave him the example of the athlete. I will give the example of the farmer. You as a farmer, you must receive the early and the latter rain. You cannot receive the early rain to soften the ground. You need the latter rain that will bring forth the harvest. Are you with me? So you must have understanding. So what does it say in closing? It says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I pray that God will give understanding in Jesus' name. Please, let's stand to our feet as we pray. Let's stand to our feet as we sing that song. We sing verses 1, 3, and the last verse.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
Lift
high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss
from victory,
on to victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Verse 3.
Stand up for Jesus.
The trumpet call obey. Walk to the mighty conflict.
To the mighty conflict.
In this his glorious day.
In this victorious day.
He that a man now serve him.
He that a man now serve
him. Against unnumbered foes.
Against unnumbered
foes. Let courage rise with danger. Strength to strength opposed. Verse 3.
Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone.
The arm of flesh will fail you.
The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your hope.
Put on the gospel hammer.
Put on the gospel hammer. It marching on to prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Last verse.
Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He will the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Let's put one on our hearts and raise the other hand to heaven. I would like to remind us of the vision of God for this year that Pastor read. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is our purpose, that is our destiny, to have sufficient oil in our vessels. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us, so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that as a good soldier of Christ, I must strive daily using the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace in sufficient measure, to daily use the blood, the word, and the Spirit in the place of prayer to pump the life of God into my mortal flesh, that I might receive and manifest your glory that is imminent at this time, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.